Hello, I'm Jane Johnson, the founder of Careering Into Motherhood. We're going to be dropping this podcast weekly with a series of guests, some of which I'll be interviewing and others I'll be handing over the mic. Our aim at Careering Into Motherhood is to make life as a working mother that little bit easier. And I passionately believe that coaching and a supportive community are absolutely fundamental to that. It's why we have a partnership with over 60 different coaches who can help you with anything from changing careers to parenting children with special educational needs, going through divorce or other relationship challenges, to launching a business of your own. All the support and advice from our coaches is available on our website, www.careeringintomotherhood.com. And don't forget, the Careering Into Motherhood community is also available to you over on Facebook. Just search for our name and apply to join the group. We've got 11,000 other mums who will welcome you with open arms, and you can meet and engage with our coaches there as well. Now, without further ado, let's get into today's episode and let's get this interview started. What does it mean to really flourish as a mother? Most of the time, I personally seem to feel as though I'm stuck together with bits of blue tack and sellotape rather than truly flourishing in my role. But as the early signs of spring are just around the corner, thoughts might be turning to new growth and new beginnings and more positivity. My guest today is a specialist in positive psychology. Belinda Batt is a career coach who supports mothers in their quest to find more fulfillment in their careers and in life generally. Today we're going to be discussing her own personal journey and the ways she helps clients to redefine the concept of career success around motherhood. Belinda, welcome. Just by way of brief introduction for our listeners, could you explain a little bit about who you are and what you do and this concept of the flourishing mother?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. Yeah, so I am a mum of two young children and I am an accredited coach and my focus is working with mothers. Now, the concept of the flourishing mother is something that's very dear to my heart because obviously when I first had my children, I felt anything but flourishing in many respects. And I have studied positive psychology, which I am now applying with my clients who are mothers to try and bring the principles of positive psychology, which we'll come onto in a minute, to enable mothers to improve their own well-being, support their own well-being. I'm sure we'll come on to it, but it's kind of not just in their home, but also bringing that back into the workplace is something that I'm really focusing on at the moment as well.
It's really interesting, isn't it? You touched upon this idea of the flourishing mother. And as you said, when you had your children, you felt anything but that. And I can wholeheartedly agree with or identify with that feeling. And yet we're kind of sold this image that I always talk about, the Pampers ad, that's how I expected motherhood to be, certainly in the early days, and just this giggling baby who I'd put down to sleep in a cot and he'd naturally fall asleep and everything, you know, I'd use the time to go and do washing and all these other things. And then I'd go back to work and continue on my flourishing career. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think flourishing is very much a word that's associated with women. And yet the reality for a lot of us seems to be, certainly the narrative in the media, is that we aren't flourishing in the way that we were told we should. So this concept of positive psychology around all of those narratives is something that really interests me. Can we start by explaining what positive psychology is?
Absolutely. So yeah, traditional psychology, I guess the easiest way of explaining it is more focusing on the person as starting from a place of ill health. So let's, you know, whether that's ill mental health, let's say. And positive psychology comes from a perspective of seeing the person as whole, complete, starting from a point of wellness. So we therefore focus in our, we call them positive psychology interventions, but you know, you can call them tools or techniques or any of the associated methods that we use as positive psychology practitioners. We'll always have that focus on improving well-being. So not fixing the individual, but improving the well-being of the individual, if that makes sense.
Yeah, certainly. So if you're talking about that in the context of motherhood, where do those interventions, I guess, kind of start and end, if they do end?
Well, when I'm working with mothers, it's kind of, it depends. I guess I'm going to use the workplace as an example, if that's okay. Mm. When I'm doing a lot of work at the moment with mothers who are returning to work. And I think an easy way of explaining how we can apply positive psychology to that principle of returning to work is that we do a lot of work around values and who was I before becoming a mother and who am I now I'm a mother. And the work that I do with mums is a lot around identity and looking at our values, whether these have changed since becoming a mother, whether we feel that our strengths have changed or whether we feel that our skills have changed. So kind of looking at the pre and the post and actually mm-hmm. trying to integrate the two into one so that we can go back to work. And this is just a specific example, but so we can go back to work feeling stronger and more confident that we are. I think there's just a lot of a lack of confidence that women feel when they become mothers. Absolutely. And they go back into the workplace. Mm. We feel that we are somehow less than.
Yeah.
We often go back feeling this sense of being apologetic.
Yeah.
And definitely. We've missed out and we perhaps have lost our skills. And there is a very unhelpful societal narrative around baby brain and, you know, all of these kind of negative narratives that we can internalize. So I think where positive psychology can be really useful in this context is sort of enabling mothers to evaluate the changes that they've gone through, this huge change of becoming a mother, but actually taking the opportunity to integrate the pre and the post and to think about, you know, my new identity, you know, and actually it's all of these wonderful things rolled into one. And now I'm coming back even better and even stronger, you know, with so many more things to give. And I think that's where positive psychology can be really helpful. We do a lot of exercises around values and strengths and visualizing our best selves, you know, at work and actually looking at when we were our best self in our previous existence before having children and imagining how we can be our best selves in our new version of ourselves as mother.
Mm. It is interesting, isn't it, that as you touched upon, society tends to, and certainly workplaces tend to focus on the things that we've lost since becoming parents. It comes up all the time among our community members about feeling out of touch with the workplace, concerns around not knowing how to use the latest technology, etc., etc. And actually spinning that around and thinking about all of the things that we have gathered along the way on this path and how we could bring that to the workforce. Do you think, or do you see with your clients, do you have conversations around, actually, there are some really employable skills that we acquire as mothers?
I think that is a very, very important thing to point out. And it's definitely something that I point out with my clients, is that the time that we have away from the workplace when we are having our children, you know, feeding our babies, and that's all we do. But you know, there are many, many skills which are very transferable back into the workplace. And I think I've spoken to so many mothers who have said that they feel that they are 100 times more efficient back in the workplace after having children, because we have just got to be more efficient, you know, when we are in that environment and the baby's sleeping and you need to do 10,000 things at the same time. And you learn coping mechanisms as part of that experience, which are very transferable back into the workplace. You learn time management skills, you learn, all of these kind of different coping mechanisms which help you to manage your day-to-day life when you're on maternity leave or extended leave. And all of these are transferable. These are skills that are completely relevant to being back in the workplace. You know, all your managers are going to want to hear that you are more efficient, better at managing your time. You know, those are positive skills.
Yeah, definitely. I always talk about the negotiation skills required as parents as well. You know, you're dealing with a stakeholder who basically is your designs whether or not you're going to have a good day or a bad day, and doesn't truly have a vested interest in your happiness. You're trying to, you know, negotiate with them to do whatever it is you need. So yeah, definitely. I think there are loads of
I love that. Skills. tiny little tyrannical stakeholder.
Yeah, exactly. I always call my own son the mini Mussolini. But I want to talk about this idea as well of redefining your career path. So, you know, again, it comes back to a lot of the conversations that we hear, and I know you hear them with clients and you hear them within our community as well, around, you know, I don't know where to start, maybe having taken some time out to raise a family, or just going back to work and then feeling, actually, no, this is no longer working for me and my family. I want to do something else, but I have no idea where to start. And again, you know, just from talking with you, it's interesting. We are naturally programmed almost to see the negative of that in terms of we don't have the skills, but flipping that around and looking at it more through positive psychology. How would you go about supporting a client in redefining their career path through positive psychology?
Best work self now you're going back to work. So taking the opportunity to sit down with a piece of paper for 10 minutes, doesn't have to be a long time, and imagining who you are as your best self. And the prompts that I like to give clients for this exercise are things like, think about the people you're with and the place that you're in, your environment. Think about the projects you're working on. Think about the processes, the kind of, you know, how you're feeling about what you're working on. Think about, so, you know, really kind of inhabit that vision of your best work self. You know, where are you? What are you doing? Who's supporting you? Who's championing you? You know, what is lighting you up? What is making you feel fulfilled? And just get down all of the things that you can. And then after kind of doing that exercise, the next step really in terms of redefining your career is kind of considering, what are your boundaries now? Because I think that's the other thing, is that a lot of mums go back to work and everything has changed, really. We'd be mums that have to pick up the kids and, you know, have shorter work days. But right now, that's not where we are, unfortunately. And a lot of mums don't have the luxury of, well, is it a luxury? I don't know. But, you know, of being chained to their desk 9 to 5, you know, we...
It feels like a luxury. You have to run to pick up and run to drop off and all those other things.
Exactly. But I think, you know, something that I encourage clients to think about is, what does your career, what do you need from your career now? You know, and that's fantastic. And there will be some areas that are just deal breakers for you. You know, if you can't do international travel right now, if you need your job to be flexible, if it needs to be a hybrid of work from home and work in the office, you know, these are all things that you really need to be very clear on when you go back into the workplace. You know, does your current job that you're going back to fit these criteria of what you need from your job now? If it doesn't, is there any opportunity to discuss with your manager how it could? You know, is there some job crafting opportunity? Could you talk about how your job could be crafted to be more in line with your need? And if not, maybe it's time to think about a different job. You know, those are the kinds of questions that you need to ask yourself, because if you don't ask those questions, then you're either going to find yourself in a really, really bad situation. You know, it's not a fit. It's just not working for you. Or yeah, you just need to think about what your next step is. Ultimately, you want to be happy in your career.
It is true, isn't it? And we were brought up, or certainly I was brought up back in the 70s with this idea of that women can do it all. You know, you can have a family and you can go to university and you can have a career. But then also the idea that you get a vocation, you get a profession, you go into employment and you just keep moving up this ladder. And I know there's lots of talk about squiggly careers rather than a linear career progression and that sort of thing. But again, it's still quite hardwired in us, isn't it? This looping back to your idea of positive psychology, that, well, I've stepped away from the big career ladder and therefore I'm a failure, or I have not even so much I'm a failure, but, you know, that's not for me anymore. But actually, there are so many iterations and so many transitions in the life of a parent that, you know, is it the case that we should be seeing careers as much more shorter stints, if you like, with an opportunity to reinvent ourselves or evolve throughout those transitions?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting conversation to be having. I think maybe that is the case, that when we become mothers, you know, we we do change fundamentally, and we maybe do, we would be better doing something different, you know, or maybe we just need more supportive employers that, you know, recognize the challenges. Or maybe also sometimes, and this is also a point that I make to clients, that sometimes we also need to interrogate ourselves a little bit in terms of how we can perpetuate this, these narratives in our own lives. You know, maybe we need to be having these conversations at home as well about what we need now in order to flourish, you know, in our lives and at work. Maybe we're not asking for the support that we need, you know, as well. I think there's societal and there's systemic barriers, but there's also personal barriers that that we may not even realize that we are perpetuating the societal narratives that, you know, we've been so conditioned into. So I guess that's when I'm working with clients, you know, I always say that it's about bringing awareness to the barriers that you face, about, you know, considering those narratives and how they affect you and impact you on a day-to-day basis. It's about whether you're asking for support. It's about whether you're setting boundaries. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, and whether you're really thinking about what is going to make you happy and what is going to be the best fit for your family. You know, these are all conversations that, you know, things that need to be thought about really carefully.
If you're a coach listening to this and you want to join our mission to make life that little bit easier for working mothers, then we have a limited number of places available on our coaching partnership program in 2024. You'll get access to our community of thousands of mums interested in coaching advice, in-person support with your business development and marketing, and opportunities to create valuable content library that resonates with your potential clients. Coaching can be a lonely business when you're on your own. We've got a supportive cohort of around 60 other coaches who can help you. And we bring marketing and communications tools and an active community of mums. I'm Jane, the founder of Careering Into Motherhood. And as a fellow female founder, I want to see your business thrive. And I want to help more women to access the game-changing powers of your professional coaching. Email me for more details, jane@careeringintomotherhood.com. That's jane@careeringintomotherhood.com. Now back to the interview.
Yeah, it is true. We're notoriously, I mean, I'm generalizing, but notoriously bad at asking for support. You know, I know even from personal experience, I'll sort of kill myself to get to drop off because I'm so worried that I'm not, you know, being able to fit everything in. And yet I know damn well I can just text someone and they'd be more than happy to help and just, you know, pick my son up or something for 5 minutes, 10 minutes while I just finish off what I'm doing. And, you know, that's just a small anecdotal example, but there's so many areas where I think also women, we love helping each other and we love to see each other flourish. So, yeah, why is it that you think, why are we so bad at asking for help?
That's a good question. I wish I knew the answer. I think something you've just said, which is really, really important, and again, something that I talk about a lot, is the value of surrounding, you know, solidarity and surrounding ourselves with people who get it, you know, and by and large, those people are going to be fellow mothers or, you know, people that we kind of need to be able to support one another. And actually, in the act of surrounding ourselves with other people going through the same thing, it helps us to normalize what we're experiencing. And, you know, I think that's something that we often isolate ourselves. And, you know, the pandemic has not helped. I think when we go through the process of becoming mothers, we often feel, and this is a really, you know, big area for me in terms of my own research, is we feel a lot of guilt, we feel a lot of shame. And when you feel guilt and shame, particularly shame, you often just kind of hide away. You don't want to be telling people why you're feeling so ashamed, you know, and that really, that all those things can translate really negatively into how you feel about yourself and how you feel about your career. It's no wonder that we kind of don't have that confidence that we need to flourish in life and work, because we're not having those conversations because we're too ashamed to admit that we're not coping very well, or, you know, it's harder than we expected. So I think maybe that is part of the problem.
Yeah, I agree. And you've touched a couple of times on this idea of confidence. And, you know, I always think it's interesting that we you know, we should be feeling incredibly confident as mothers with managing to bring a small human being into this world and keep them clothed and fed and well, hopefully. And, you know, it should be a hugely empowering journey, but so often it's not. And I'm interested just in your thoughts and maybe even your own personal use that you did touch upon at the start, the fact that when you had your children, you didn't feel as though you were necessarily flourishing as you'd been told you ought to. How did you get yourself back into feeling more confident, feeling like Belinda again? And do you have one or two tips for those days when you don't feel as though you've got it? You don't feel as though you're firing on all cylinders?
I think that, yeah, you've sort of hit the nail on the head then. There are so many days when you're not feeling like you're firing on all cylinders when you first become a mother. And I think that the key thing, and I guess putting my positive psychology lens on, for me, it helped me a lot that I had started the training to do what I do now. It helps me every day when I stumble into, you know, various roadblocks, and I kind of am able to unpick the feelings and the beliefs, the core beliefs that underlie them, and challenge myself a little bit. I think that's the key thing, is when we're feeling low and we might then attach a negative, you know, label to ourselves because we have this sort of belief that we're not, it often feeds into this narrative of not being good enough. You know, we're not achieving enough. And when we have babies, that can really be quite a big thing, you know, because you are, you know, from the outside world, like, you're doing great. You're getting through the day. You're keeping your baby alive, you know, all of these things, but often you are not, you know, you feel like you're existing, I guess. And so I suppose what's helped me is being able to challenge the negative beliefs through my own training. And I would just say that if you're feeling low, or you're feeling, you know, particularly if you're thinking about going back to work and you're feeling really lacking in confidence, then it can help just to do some of this kind of thinking about, when were you at your best? You know, when did you try and take it to a more positive place? You know, because there will have been so many times in the past when you will have been so brilliant, you know, and achieving so much. And so one way of countering the negative thoughts, I guess, is to focus on the times which were really good, and to sort of interrogate and analyze why it was and what it was about that situation that made you feel so good. And then to kind of try and translate that back into, you know, how you might feel that good again, you know. So I guess that's one way. And then also just challenging your beliefs, challenging your thoughts. If you're feeling negative, ask yourself, what, you know, is that true? Is that thought true? You know, and try and counter it. So I might be feeling like this now, but actually, you know, this isn't really true. And, you know, I can think of examples which prove that this is not true in my own life. So it's just that level of interrogation, I guess, which I find useful.
Yes, thank you. And do you have a sort of a time that you carve out for yourself, whether or a sort of, I'd say, personal mantra or something that keeps you? Because this idea of, you're often helping, you know, you're helping clients all the time, you're in person, you've got all the training and the psychology, but actually practicing or walking the talk yourself, you know, can often be quite challenging. So, as I say, how do you carve out time for yourself? Or is there a little mantra or piece of advice that you use for yourself, your own self-coaching?
That's a really good question. And very true that a lot of the time when you're a coach, you don't always do a very good job of coaching yourself. And I notice that a lot. But one thing I have started to do, I'm glad I have an answer to your question. It would be embarrassing if I didn't. But one thing I have started to do, which I can recommend, is and is grounded in science and, you know, has been proven to improve your well-being, is something that probably everyone will have heard of before, but a gratitude journal.
Oh, really?
I didn't do this for a long time, and I always suggest that my clients do this. And I thought at the beginning of this year, I bought myself a shiny new journal, and I thought, right, I'm going to write in my journal every night, and I'm going to write whatever comes into my head for 5 minutes. I don't set a timer, but and then at the end of the journal entry, I just put three things that I'm grateful for in that moment from that day, how, you know, whatever it is. And I try to do that every day, or at least, you know, four or five times a week, something like that. Amazing. And there is evidence to suggest that that does improve your well-being. So if there's one small tip, then I think maybe it would be that.
That's brilliant. That is true embodiment of positive psychology, I think, isn't it? Isn't it?
It is.
So just in conclusion, where can people find out more about you and your work with clients?
So I've got my website, which is www.theflourishingmother.com. And I'm on Instagram, which is @flourishingmother. And I also have a community on Facebook. So if you type in the Flourishing Mother community, you should be able to find the community, and it's free to join. And we have weekly free live events with other wellbeing practitioners, and lots of resources and things to share in there. So please join.
Fantastic. Thank you very much indeed. And as we were just talking about, you're thinking of starting your own podcast, so you might be hearing a lot more from Belinda the rest of the coming months. Thank you so much. It's been really good talking to you today, Belinda.
Thank you, Jane.
Well, I feel as though we covered a lot of ground there with Belinda today. From the concept of feeling as though we are somehow less valuable or have less to offer to the workplace after maternity leave, to Belinda's thoughts on positive psychology and building confidence, not to mention all her ideas for reframing the employable skills that motherhood actually gives us. Huge thanks and gratitude to Belinda for joining me today. As she mentioned, you can find out more about her work at www.theflourishingmother.com and, of course, via our own website as well, www.careeringintomotherhood.com. That's all for this week. I'll be back next time with another great guest to inspire you on your journey as a working parent. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.